on 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Voice of the Cape, drive time it is. 072-238-072 is the WhatsApp line for queries, comments, and or criticism. 47913 if you still do SMSs. Most people seem to like WhatsApp nowadays. Of course, social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. For a long time, NGOs and activists have been calling for political parties to disclose where exactly they get their money from. And finally, the political party funding bill has been signed into law by President Cyril Ramaphosa. Okay, the big question. Will it be in effect ahead of the 2019 national elections? We chat to Zahir Grimwood from My Vote Counts. And of course, we remind ourselves that My Vote Counts took this matter to the Concord last year and they won. Zahir Grimwood, My Vote Counts researcher. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Salam. Thank you for having me.
Okay. I think the big question, is this bill going to be effective for the 2019 national elections?
Well, we don't actually think that it's going to be effective. In the bill, it actually says that the IEC will have 6 months from when it is signed to actually set up the organization that will then published disclosures of political parties' private funding information. Last year, we did actually request that the president sign the bill before November 2018, because that was the deadline for it to be effective before the elections. Now, the IEC has said that they will start implementing aspects of the bill in April of this year, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to disclose the information. And for now, they're trying to set up the organization step-by-step process so that they can then generate the expertise and what have you, which will then delay the access to information for voters. And as we have consistently argued, that it's before every election, citizens are entitled to cast an informed vote, and without this information, the legitimacy of their votes are compromised because, you know, perhaps if a voter were to know which political parties are receiving funding from who and what the relationship is, they'd be able to then see what kinds of relationships political parties have with which sectors, for example. And so we think it's very unfortunate that it's likely not to be effective before the elections, but we have requested that political parties take it upon themselves to disclose this information if they are serious about accountability and transparency.
Because I can remember this whole issue being brought up in Parliament, and all the bigger political parties being fairly coy about this. A lot of sidestepping was done. And it seemed as if, for once, all our political parties had something in common, and that is that they were not going to feel comfortable about the sources of their funding being revealed. But if we look at the 2019 election, surely this legislation is going to work in retrospect, in the sense that if somebody asks, okay, who's funding the ANC when this does come into place, surely by default it will actually reveal who could have been a funder during the elections.
So it's not actually going to retrospectively reveal information. It's going to disclose information from a specific period. So in one financial year, a political party will be obligated to provide information. But we cannot go, say, 5 or 10 years back, or perhaps even 2 years back. The bill doesn't necessarily make provision for us to request information. And that's, from years back. But the original piece of legislation that would actually allow for this and should facilitate it is the Promotion of Access to Information Act. Now, with that act, you'd be able to request information and identify dates and such. Now, there is an obligation on Parliament to amend PIA to accommodate information, the request of information of political parties' private funding. And through that act, we should be able then to have access. But as you know, of yet we haven't seen Parliament take any action to amend PIA to accommodate party funding disclosure.
And to be honest with you, I don't see any movement on that. PIA has proved to be something of a log in the road for many a person trying to investigate the comings and goings of government. We can go to court to have the secrecy of the issue lifted, but it just doesn't seem to occur in practice.
No, it doesn't seem to occur in practice. And, we've made requests through PIA on various occasions, and political parties have either said, no, PIA actually protects political parties or, as private entities, because that's what political parties then refer themselves to as private entities, and that they're not obligated. I mean, it actually protects donors' identities, and that they don't have to disclose other information. So there's actually more provisions in PIA which political parties have argued that actually protects the secrecy of private funding.
And of course, with the Zondo Commission singing along like a canary right now, it's becoming more and more critical, isn't it, that we know who exactly funds what? Because we see Basasa giving the president a nice big fat cake for his birthday party, and Basasa passing certain funds into the ruling party, which we wouldn't have known about otherwise, but something that the new regulations will certainly put a check on.
Yes, it's always been critical that we have regulation, because secrecy obviously engenders more dubious, corrupt funding of political parties. I just want to mention with the Basasa scandal, the means by which the money was transferred to certain politicians was actually by giving them hard cash. And when it comes to the bill is not going to be able to monitor such funding, because that funding would be regarded as underground funding, it's money laundering. So that also then speaks to the fact that there will be means and ways political parties try to loan, and private entities will launder the money that they're providing to political parties, and that there'll be creative ways that political parties will come up with to maintain the secrecy of party funding. But we're not going to stop the fight. Of course, we're going to monitor how this bill is being implemented. And there are still certain loopholes in the bill that we feel need to be addressed, and that we will address at some point. For example, donations only above 100,000 Rand from one donor is disclosed. If there's an amount of 99,000 Rand that a donor donates, that won't be published. And also there's specific funds that can be a donor can donate to. It's called the Multi-Party Democracy Fund. It's been set up in the bill in order for a donor to donate instead of directly donating to a political party. And if they donate to that fund, then they can actually request that the IFC not disclose their identity and the amount of money that they fund. But with that fund, if they donate to that fund, then the money that they give will be allocated to all political parties through a particular formula. So we feel that a donor can feel that even if they're going to give money that would then be distributed to all political parties, they are still able to buy the influence and create a strong relationship or maintain a relationship with a political party, and they win, therefore, by still being able to conceal their identity.
Yeah, the 99,000 Rand thing is an absolute copycat of United States legislation. And there's a special technique which a lot of the lobby groups use in United States politics, particularly the Zionist lobby, in which they get a group of five people to each donate 99,000 Rand and $99,000 to the one politician, and it goes completely under the radar. It's a well-known methodology, and a lot of funding in the United States political system occurs like that. So that's not a loophole. That's a major hole, actually.
Yes, so it is a major hole, and there are other issues with the bill as well. So, for example, if members are prohibited from receiving donations, but if the donation is justified to members of a political party, are prohibited from receiving donations, but if the donation is justified to be given to a political party based on it being for training or skills development or for party political purposes, then the donation can still be condoned, and that then is basically in another hole, as you say, that then can, still allow for individual politicians, which is very to receive the private funding, which is very very risky, especially when it comes to high-level officials who can in political parties who can then wield influence from donors, or donors can then essentially buy their influence, they could have influence over the party. And we'd also just like to mention that in such cases where you have particular individuals that they are receiving so much funding based on the fact that they have this access to power, means that then we need to look at the fact that there needs to be more intra-party democracy, internal party democracy. Our political parties need to get their acts together. And that's why MBC is also taking up another project. We'll be trying to look at how political parties function internally. Does it function as an organization that upholds values of fairness and transparency and accountability? Or are there particular individuals, high-level individuals in the party that create this facade of democracy through, their political party competing with other political parties, or are they really upholding values of transparency by making sure that the organization is run in a transparent manner, making sure that the electoral processes in the party is fair, that the policy making of the party is fair, and that members from various branches have a fair chance to participate instead of the party being run by a particular few individuals. Yes.
Zahir, I can hear the worms thumping to get out of the can on this one. I really can.
Yes.
The worms are very ready to come out of that particular can, because, when we cover political parties and all of that, what is going on behind closed doors sometimes beggars the imagination. And, of course, the political party funding bill, I don't want to be cynical, but it is my job in a sense. I can only see it right now being a smokescreen of a smokescreen. I think politicians have already worked out how they're going to get around it, particularly the bigger ones. And the other problem that still has to be addressed is those who give suitcases of cash to political parties for elections. Colonel Gaddafi, by the way, from Libya, used to do that a lot for South African political parties. He used to give them a whole suitcase of cash for their elections, and the official would come to South Africa with a whole lot of dollars. But that's another story.
Yes, so we've also tried to emphasize the fact that this is not just about the ANC and BOSASA, because there's a lot of emphasis on their role, but it's a systemic issue. So, for example, the Democratic Alliance,
I think, is
very good at concealing the way that they're receiving private funding. And there was an issue with the Democratic Alliance in the area of Camps Bay, where they were receiving funding from these particular property developers. And then there was a whistleblower from the DA that, brought this issue to light because the community didn't want a particular property to be constructed. And this whistleblower went through a disciplinary procedure. I don't know if I cannot confirm if she was suspended from the party, but this issue of private funding to political parties is not just an issue with the ANC, it's a systemic issue, and it's an issue with all political parties in South Africa that are able to have access to governing particular regions.
No, absolutely, and that has to be the thrust of it. But Zahira Grimwood, My Vote Counts researcher, well done on the Concord case. At least you won it. And let's hope that there is more accountability in terms of political party funding. But Zahira, thanks a lot. Everything of the best.
Thank you.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the